Right now, it's time for the Talk of the Nation opinion page. If you've been searching the papers for good news from Iraq, we found a little on the op-ed pages. Our guest today is Kenneth Pollack, Director of Research at the Sabin Center for Middle East Policy at the Brookings Institution. Together with his colleague Michael O'Hanlon, Kenneth Pollack has just returned from a visit to Iraq, and they write in today's New York Times that there are significant positive changes taking place there. If you have questions for Ken Pollack about his recent trip to Iraq and what he found there, give us a call. Our number here in Washington is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. And you can also send us email to talk@npr.org or join the conversation on our blog, npr.org/blogofthenation. Ken Pollack joins us now by phone from his office. Thanks so much for joining us.
My pleasure, Rebecca. Glad to be here.
So this is a very optimistic view of Iraq. The piece is called A War We Just Might Win. You talk about stability being possible rather than an outright victory. Tell me why the sunshine and rainbows?
Yeah, first, I would never suggest that the piece is sunshine and rainbows. As we say, the situation in Iraq is grave, and there are still very significant obstacles out there. I'll start by saying this, though. In previous trips to Iraq, every time I've been in the past, I came back more depressed and more pessimistic than when I went out there. This is the first time that I went out there and came back actually somewhat optimistic, believing that there was some real progress, that we actually figured out what the right answer was, at least in some of the sectors of what we're trying to do, and we're making some progress. And again, that's not to say that the war is won or that we're even on a glide path to winning, but there is some progress.
And who do you credit for that change?
Well, I think a lot of the credit has to go to General Petraeus, who showed up knowing what the right answer was, as a man who had studied counterinsurgency and stability operations and has done a remarkable job putting together a first-rate team of people and changing over the strategy and changing over the tactics. And he's also got a very good partner in Ambassador Ryan Crocker. And the two of them together, I think, are working well. And again, they are having some very significant progress in certain limited but still important areas.
Well, give us a couple examples.
Sure. The most obvious change that we saw was in the security sector, where in northern, central, and western Iraq, there was improvement. It was it varied very widely. It was uneven. But in some places, it was really striking. You know, my last trip to Iraq was at the end of 2005, and I was up by Mosul. And I got to tell you, Mosul was a disaster. It was completely out of control. And we had tens of thousands of American troops up in Mosul trying desperately to keep that place together. Well, this trip, we went up to Mosul and found that there are only several hundreds of American troops up there. And the reason for that is that we now finally have some Iraqi army divisions that are rising to the occasion. We've got two divisions up there, an army division and a police division, which are both capable and reliable. And that's allowed the military to greatly scale back their commitment to Iraq's third largest city to the point where they're simply providing advisory teams and fire support teams, and the Iraqis are really doing the work. That's the best story that we heard. I mean, there's obviously also Anbar, which we can talk about. But it's such a dramatic change from even just 18 months ago that it is worth highlighting.
So do you see that as Iraqis getting over some of these sectarian differences?
It's certainly some Iraqis getting over some of these sectarian differences. We did not get into southern Iraq, and everything that we heard from people who were getting down into southern Iraq is that southern Iraq is really bad. Basra is completely out of control. It's like the Wild West down there, and the British are hunkered down in the airport. And at some point in time, if this effort is to succeed, and we should keep in mind it's going to take a long time for it to succeed, but at some point in time, the Iraqi government and probably the U.S. military are going to have to get a handle on the south as well, and even in parts of Baghdad. Baghdad is mostly a war zone, but there are parts of it that are starting to get better, parts of it that are starting to feel a little bit more secure, where people are starting to feel like they can have a normal life.
In May, you wrote in an article that the surge that would really help Iraq would be a surge in civilian help, that there were not enough resources being directed to civilian efforts to enable civic life to flourish. What do you say a couple months later?
I think that that article was prescient, that what we saw in Iraq was that where we had fully manned provincial reconstruction teams and the new what are called embedded provincial reconstruction teams, which are co-located with the Army brigades, they've actually been doing quite well. And we saw some real success stories where you had fully manned PRTs and EPRTs. The problem is we don't have many fully manned PRTs and EPRTs, and the success of those that are fully manned really throws into stark relief the omission, the absence of those teams that aren't fully manned. We desperately need those people, and it's why I think that the State Department and the other agencies of the U.S. government have got to step up to the task. And, of course, this is ultimately an issue of leadership. President Bush and his cabinet secretaries have got to make clear to the rest of the bureaucracy that this operation, that this effort is important to them, and it's as important for them to contribute as it is for the military.
I want to play a little bit of tape of you here on Talk of the Nation about a year ago. I know this is terrifying to be quoted back to yourself, but this is what you had to say a little over a year ago.
It's been over 3 years. The United States has made one mistake after another, many of these mistakes absolutely catastrophic. The Iraqis have nevertheless remained very consistent in their support of successful reconstruction. And honestly, that to me is the most surprising thing. If you had told me before we invaded that we were going to have no plan for post-war reconstruction, that we were not going to put in enough troops to hold the place together, that we were going to make mistake after mistake after mistake, and I won't recount all the ones that we made, and you were going to tell me that in July, three and a half almost years later, that the Iraqis were still not going to be in a state of all-out civil war, that it would just be a low-level civil war, I would have said, no way.
So are we still making catastrophic mistakes, and are you still impressed at the level or low level of civil war among the Iraqis?
Yes. And again, to one of the strongest things that that kept registering to me on this trip is, boy, if we'd actually employed this strategy and moved in this direction 3 years ago, 2 years ago, even a year ago, we'd be doing a heck of a lot better than we are today. Those missed opportunities really stand out to you when you see even the little bits of progress that we're making today because of this sudden change. There's no question that, I agree with that previous assessment. We made one catastrophic mistake after another. But as you're suggesting, one of the things that's most striking is I think we have stopped making the catastrophic mistakes. I think that Petraeus and Crocker actually do understand the problems of Iraq, and they don't yet have all the solutions to those problems. I think that they have some good ideas and some good answers, and they're working hard on them, and they are getting some traction in some areas, but a lot still needs to be done because we dug ourselves into a very deep pit before we actually decided to get with the right program and actually adopt a strategy that has some chance of pulling things together in Iraq.
One of the things that struck me the most about your piece is what you're hearing from the troops. It seems to me, just as a news consumer, that at the beginning of the war, there was every so often something from an embedded reporter who would say the troops are really frustrated that the good news of the good work they're doing here isn't getting out into the press. And then it sort of shifted to most of the stuff you heard from the troops was pretty cynical and frustrated and feeling like they couldn't get ahead. You felt a different mood when you were there last week.
Yeah, and again, this was a big change from previous trips to Iraq, because in previous trips, I also had felt the enormous frustration of our troops over there, who mostly felt like they had the wrong strategy for the last 3.5, 4 years, and that what they were doing, losing friends, risking their own lives in pursuit of a strategy that they just didn't feel like was working, just wasn't worth it to them. And this time around, we all felt a very different mood from the troops. They actually seemed to be a lot more confident. They felt like they had a good commander in General Petraeus, and he had a good staff around him, that he had brought in a plan that could actually succeed, at least in the security field. And they could most of the people we spoke to, could point to very specific areas and instances and stories of how their change in tactics, their change in operations, was producing tangible results for them. And that was a big change from previous trips to Iraq.
Let's get some callers on the line. This is Danny in San Rafael. Danny, welcome to Talk of the Nation.
Yeah, hi. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. I just wanted to say, if I'm not mistaken, Ken Pollack was the fellow you guys had on the eve of the Iraq war, who came on and said Saddam Hussein was, just months or a couple of years away from attacking everybody with nuclear weapons. I've been furious with him and with NPR since that day. I think he has no credibility. And, of course, here he is on the eve of our pullout from Iraq, trying to tell everybody we should stay there for more years and waste more lives and more money. He's got no credibility with me, and I don't see why the American people should believe anything from him or any of the people that he represents. General Petraeus, all handpicked by Rumsfeld as he was walking out the door. I don't know what Ken Pollack's, you know, payoff is, but I wouldn't trust this guy, you know, as far as I could throw him. That's my comment. I'll take my comments off the air.
But Ken Pollack, outside of the personal issues of your credibility, do you think it's gotten to the point where the American public is finding it awfully hard to believe any good news about Iraq?
Sure. Look, I think that the administration has done not just a miserable job in conducting the post-war reconstruction of Iraq, they've done a miserable job in explaining to the American people why it's important and what they're trying to do. I think that they've consistently claimed that they had the right strategy and that the war was about to be won in 6 months. And, of course, they didn't have the right strategy, and it was never going to be won in 6 months. These kind of operations take years, and I think that the administration did a real disservice to the American people in trying to claim that this war could be won quickly and easily. Beyond that, I don't agree at all with the way that the administration has tried to explain the importance of what's going on in Iraq. It certainly is the case that if the U.S. were to withdraw from Iraq, al-Qaeda would reestablish its presence. They probably would mount attacks on other countries, and eventually they probably would get around to attacking the United States. But, of course, al-Qaeda in Iraq is only one of many al-Qaedas in the Middle East. It's not the only one that's trying to attack the United States. And while terrorism isn't unimportant to what's going on in Iraq, quite frankly, it's not the most important set of problems there. And I think that the way that the administration has tried to play on the fears of the U.S. public by constantly repeating the terrorism threat has actually complicated the issue and confused most Americans more than it's actually enlightened.
You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I think we have time for another caller. This is Manny in Hamden, Connecticut. Manny, welcome to Talk of the Nation.
Hi. The one issue that I seem, I mean, there's a lot of things I could talk about here, but the big thing that seems to be disingenuous about this whole disaster is that, you know, the real fact of the matter is that the politicians in Iraq, the factions, the Shiites, the Sunnis, the Kurds, okay, these guys are not running the country. They are, I mean, as we speak, I believe they're on a recess, okay? You can hold the pot on the kettle, okay? That's what our army is doing. The lives that we're spending is holding the things down. You know, it's like whack-a-mole. You know, you find one guy pop up. Okay, good. We put that down, and then they come back and whatever. And none of this will work without the Iraqi people identifying themselves that way. And I think that identification is lost.
Manny, thanks for your call. Ken Pollack?
Yeah, Manny's getting to a really important point, and it's one we tried to raise in our op-ed, which is that, again, while there definitely is progress on the security front, and again, even some progress in terms of local economic and political development, the national-level political issue remains an absolute mess. We spoke with many of the senior Iraqi officials, people I've known for many years, and got no real sense that they're ready to make the kind of compromises that are necessary. And at bottom, it's because, quite honestly, most of the Iraqi leadership in Baghdad are nothing but front men for warlords, for vicious Shia and Sunni militias outside of Baghdad, who are much more interested in their own aggrandizement, getting as big a piece of Iraq's power pie and money pie as they can, and much less interested in making the kind of compromises that would be necessary to avert civil war. And that's something that's got to change. As I said, we're making progress in some areas, but Manny's absolutely right. If that doesn't change, this effort is not sustainable. And it's one of the reasons why in the piece our conclusion is, look, you know, don't assume that this means that we're set and everything is going to be fine and everything is optimistic. There are big obstacles to overcome. We are making progress, better progress than frankly any of us expected in these particular areas. But all that does is put additional emphasis on the need to resolve these other problems out there which have not yet been touched.
And in terms of public opinion in this country, do you think it's too late for this administration? Have they lost credibility with the American people?
You know, I honestly don't know. I'm not an expert on U.S. public opinion, but it clearly is the case that, as I said before, I think that this administration has lost pretty much all credibility with the American people to make the case. You know, it's going to be interesting who they decide to roll out to make their case for them in September. I think Secretary of Defense Gates may be the only one who can really go to the Congress and to the American people and say, trust me, Mr. Gates was not part of this administration when it invaded Iraq and when it made its series of catastrophic mistakes, which we're paying for today. He may still be able to deliver that message. But beyond that, I think that it's going to put a lot of the burden on General Petraeus and Ambassador Crocker to make the case that it's worth maintaining this effort.
Ken Pollack, thanks so much for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me, Rebecca.
Ken Pollack is a senior fellow with the Brookings Institution, where he is also director of research at the Sabin Center for Middle East Policy. You can find a link to his op-ed called A War We Might Just Win, We Just Might Win, at npr.org/blogofthenation. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Rebecca Roberts in Washington.